Luke chapter 19. If you'll follow along, I'm going to start in verse number 1. If you'll follow along with me as I read the first 10 verses. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way." That he is Jesus. Jesus was going to pass that way. "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I will stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" We all know the story of Zacchaeus. If we spent any time in Sunday school, vacation, Bible school, any of those things, this was probably one of the first stories that we ever heard, the story of Zacchaeus. We sang that little song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he." He was a tax collector. Verse number 2 tells us that he was the chief tax collector. He was the big guy, the head guy, the presidente. Numero uno. He was right there. He was the head guy. But you see, he was a traitor to his nation because he aligned with the nation of Rome. And you see, Rome set that standard rate for those taxes that were going to be collected. But you see, men like Zacchaeus charged whatever they wanted to charge above that rate. The people, well, they had no choice, but they had to pay the taxes. They had to pay the taxes that they were assessed. And as a result of that position of Zacchaeus, he had greed, but he was rich. He was powerful. He was connected with other people. He was also feared. And he was despised. You see, Zacchaeus had wealth, he had position, and he had power. But Zacchaeus knew that something was missing in his life. His financial, his political, his social connections that he had, you see, it left him empty. Somewhere along the way, though, and we don't know how, we don't know when, but Zacchaeus must have heard about this man named Jesus. Oh, maybe he heard from the people that were out collecting the money for Zacchaeus. Maybe they came back and said, "Hey, there's this guy named Jesus that's doing a bunch of stuff out there." Or maybe Zacchaeus, when he was out collecting the funds, maybe he heard about it. But somewhere along the way, he had gotten reports of this man named Jesus. But whatever it was, something was tugging at Zacchaeus' heart right there. Oh, you see, he wasn't satisfied with what he had. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied. He had come to the place where nothing but seeing Jesus was going to satisfy the deep longings of his personal soul. You see, when we were lost, God brought us to that place where we had everything in our lives, but we were empty. We didn't have anything, really. He brought us to that position. He brought us to the place where we knew something was missing. Even myself, I was saved at a very young age, at age 7. My sister led me to the Lord. But you see, even at that age, I knew that something was missing. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents were devout Christians. But I knew that something was missing. At age 7, I accepted Jesus. You see, through that conviction of the Holy Spirit, that brought me to that place. And I'm sure that's what happened to you. Well, I'm speaking to believers tonight. I know that. This is the group that comes on Wednesday night for the extra dig down, deep digging of the Word. Amen. So I know I'm speaking to believers tonight. I'm speaking to people who have already looked to Jesus by faith. And then you know Jesus in that personal way. I know I'm teaching to the saved tonight. I know that I'm teaching to the redeemed. But you see, after that time that we come to Jesus, there's that desire to see Him deeper. There's that desire to know Him. There's that desire to grow in that relationship. And as you read the Word, you see, as you walk with Him, you're going to have that ever-deepening desire to get deeper and deeper and know Him better. The Apostle Paul spoke of his own desire to know the Lord in a deeper fashion. Listen to Philippians 3, 8 through 12, and I hope you're taking some notes. You can write some verses down and look at them later. But it says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. "For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." I want to know Christ. That's what Paul is saying right here. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, that's the Apostle Paul. He's using the words know and knowledge to speak of that intimate knowledge that we want to have of Jesus. That deep, intimate, complete knowledge is what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about seeing Jesus in His complete fullness and knowing Jesus on the most intimate levels that there is. Paul wants to know Jesus completely. You see, that's how we should be. We should want to have that intimacy of seeing Jesus. And that enables Jesus to make us the person He saved us to be. That deep, deep relationship with Jesus. I think as believers, we can all identify with Paul's desire that we just read. So no matter how deep the believer grows in the things of God, there's that desire for more. Do you want more? There's that desire to know Him better, to understand His Word better, to grow closer to Him. To see Him in His fullness. You see, no matter how close we get to Jesus, we want to have that desire to learn more, to grow in the Lord. You see, when we grow satisfied where our walk is, we'll grow cold. I believe it was Jack Nicklaus who said this, and I'm not sure, but I think it was. He was talking about golf, I'm sure, but he said, "You're never just staying the same. You're either getting better or worse. Never really just staying the same." And I believe that's true in life, especially in our walk with Jesus, because if we're not growing, are we really staying the same? Or are we coming down a little bit? You see, we need to continue to grow. And that's really what this story of Zacchaeus is tonight. And I've titled this topical teaching, The Thrill of Seeing Jesus. The Thrill of Seeing Jesus. And we're going to look at three quick little things about seeing Jesus tonight. And this story of Zacchaeus. Number one, the difficulties of seeing him. The difficulties of seeing him. And we find that in verses 3 and 7. And it says, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. I'll have to tell you, I don't understand what that is. I don't have short stature. I can see pretty much everything. He was of short stature. Verse number 7 says, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. You see, the desire to see Jesus was in the heart of Zacchaeus. He made his way to the roadway. Now picture this. He makes the way to the roadway where he knows Jesus is going to be traveling and passing through Jericho. He knows that this is where he's going to be, so he stations himself beside the side of the road because he wants to see Jesus. But because Zacchaeus was short in stature, I'm sure everybody pushed in front of him and elbowed him out of the way, and here he was in the back of the group and he couldn't see anybody because he couldn't see over. But there, see, there was obstacles in the way that prevented him from attaining his goal of seeing Jesus. What were the obstacles? Well, it was the difficulty of the crowd, just like we said. Apparently, we know that maybe Zacchaeus was a little bit late in getting where he was going. Maybe he was out fleecing everybody, and he didn't have quite time to get there in time. We don't know, but he must have been a little bit late, so he was behind the crowd. But because he was short, that posed that big problem for him. He couldn't see over anybody. It blocked his view. And then he also had the difficulty of his condition. You see, even as we just said, Zacchaeus was this short little guy, that was his problem. But that was only part of his problem. You see, when we develop that desire to see Jesus, when we develop that deep desire to see Jesus and get into his word and have a deeper prayer life, those requests won't go unopposed. Satan will place obstacles wherever he can in your pathway, in my pathway, to prevent us from seeing Jesus on a deeper level. Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses people around us to hinder us in our desire to see him. He'll put them in our pathway. They'll criticize. Maybe even attack your desires to grow in the Lord. They'll stand in your way. They'll do all they can to prevent you from seeing Jesus. And sometimes he'll use the flaws of our nature, in our nature, to hinder us from seeing Jesus. You know, we all have those character flaws. I even have character flaws. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I have a whole bunch of them. One of my character flaws is I get very upset driving. I'll be honest with you, folks. I got to be honest with you. we'll let it go at that. He uses those flaws in our nature to hinder us. You see, Satan will use those shortcomings to keep us from seeing Jesus. Listen to Hebrews 12, 1, 2, 3. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Those things that hinder, the sins that easily entangle. But then I love this part, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You see, there's a race that's been marked out for us. God knows that will for our lives. He sees that whole picture. As we see just a little part of the parade in front of us, Jesus sees that whole parade from the beginning to the end. He knows. He knew that Reverend Graham was going to go home today. He knew that. And we can rejoice in that. Did you think about that at all? And this isn't in my notes, but I was thinking about that driving today. Can you imagine the scene when Dr. Graham got to heaven? Well, first of all, he was met by Jesus, I'm sure. Well done, good and faithful servant. Can't you just imagine that? Come in and worship. Can't you just imagine him worshiping? Lifting his arms and just being able to dance and sing. And then can't you imagine, he probably looked across the crowd and he saw his wife, Ruth, who left about 10 years ago and went to heaven. Can't you just imagine that picture? But then can't you just imagine the line of people that wanted to say, Dr. Graham, thank you for that night in whatever city you were in and that altar call that you led and I came up and gave my life to Jesus and I'm here tonight because of that. My goodness. That must be amazing. That's just my vision of what happened. But can't you just imagine that? Wow. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing, did you hear that? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Yes, as we look to get deeper and deeper and deeper with Jesus, we will have obstacles. But it says, do not grow weary and lose heart. You see, when we develop that desire within our heart to see him, there's going to be those difficulties. Seeing him will change your life, though. It changed Zacchaeus' life. It changed his life. Then there was also the difficulty of the critics. Oh, you see, even after Zacchaeus saw Jesus, oh, there were those that criticized. But you see, their criticism was actually twofold, if you look at it. It was twofold. First, they criticized Zacchaeus by calling him a sinner. And they were right. He was certainly a sinner. But they had no right to judge him. Because if you look at Matthew 7, 1 through 5, it says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you will judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you see it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at that speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? I love that, because I just think of that big old piece of lumber coming out like that. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank, a lumber yard in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, we have no right to criticize. Those critics had no right to criticize Zacchaeus. When they do, they were merely opening that window to their own soul. It revealed that they weren't where they needed to be with their walk with Jesus. But you see, secondly, they criticized Jesus. Oh, they criticized Jesus for having anything to do with this man, Zacchaeus. But you see, in their failure to see Jesus for themselves, they're guilty of condemning Jesus along with that person that they despised. Remember, Zacchaeus was hated. He was a hated person for what he did. So I will tell you tonight, as you look to get your walk deeper with Jesus, as you look to see the thrill of seeing Jesus, don't let the critics bother you. Stay the course for Jesus. Whatever that is, endure in striving to see him more and more and more. And when you do, those critics, those petty complaints, they fade into nothingness. They go away. Oh, you see, this like when you hand this card to somebody, hey, would you just go to the website? No, I'm not interested. Leave me alone. Okay, let it fade on. We go to the nursing home on Saturday mornings. The nursing home is home to a lot of Jewish people. And many don't want to hear the truth. You know, it is what it is. We can only do what we can do. We can offer the message, but if they don't want to accept, all we can do is plant that seed and keep planting the seed. Amen. And sometimes that's what we do. We're just planting those seeds. But don't let those critics discourage you in your walk, in your deeper walk with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, "For God who said," and I love this, "let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Let the light shine out of you into darkness. Let the light shine. Number one, the difficulties of seeing him. Number two, in verse number four, the dedication of seeing him. The dedication of seeing him. Verse four said, "So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way." You see, the desire for Zacchaeus at this point was so great that he wasn't going to allow the crowds who got in front of him, his short stature of condition, to get in his way. He was dedicated to his desire of seeing Jesus, and he paid the price. You see, his desire required effort. What effort? Well, notice he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. He ran. He climbed. There was effort involved. You see, he was dedicated to that desire to see Jesus. He paid the price to accomplish what he wanted to do. It required that effort. And seeing Jesus won't be easy in our lives. There's going to be those times that are difficult. It will cost us something to follow him deeper. The price may be prayer. Maybe it's a deeper prayer life for you. Maybe it's spending more time in the Word of God. Maybe that's the price. Maybe the price will be your attendance at church. Now, although I think you're here on Monday, on Sundays and Wednesdays anyway, so I can't really say that. But maybe it's a deeper commitment. Maybe it's turning away from some sin that's in your heart. Seeing Jesus is not cheap. It won't be cheap. But whatever price you have to pay, whatever price I have to pay, the thing is, it's so worth it. But that question is, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to pay for the thrill of seeing Jesus deeper? Whatever you have to put down, whatever you have to take up, whatever you have to do, nothing is more important in our lives than that thrill of seeing Jesus in a deeper way. It also required escape. But you see, before Zacchaeus could see the Lord, he had to distance himself from the crowds. Oh, he had to run ahead. He had to get away from the people who were standing in his way. You see, that's why he had to run ahead. Can't you just picture this little guy, who knows how tall he was, maybe like this, running at full speed? What a picture that must have been. But you see, he had that desire, that effort was there. That escape from the crowd was there to see Jesus. And sometimes we have to distance ourselves from people to see Jesus in a deeper, deeper way. When somebody comes between you and Jesus and blocks your view of Jesus, sometimes we have to separate ourselves from those people. The difficulties of seeing him, the dedication of seeing him. Number three, the delight of seeing him. The delight of seeing him. In verses 5 through 10, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house because he is also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Seeing him will not be without pain, and it won't be without paying a price. Notice what happened when Zacchaeus saw Jesus. Number one, in verse number five, it was personal. Jesus himself stopped where Zacchaeus was and spoke directly to that little man. He called him by name. It was that personal encounter that changed the life of Zacchaeus forever. You see, when you get to that place where you see him for yourself, when you get to that deeper walk and you see Jesus in a deeper way, it'll be very personal for you. You'll have your own story to tell. I'll share one story with you tonight. You see, it wasn't too long after our son was born that my wife was pregnant again. And at 7 months, we learned that the baby had passed. And so my wife had to go to the hospital. Our son Justin was at home, and my mother-in-law stayed at the house, and I went to the hospital. But I still had to work, so I came home from the hospital fairly late at night, and Justin was asleep, and I think my mother-in-law probably was too. And I turned in, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call from the alarm company, because I worked at a place and I was the first on the call-out list for the burglar alarm. And when the burglar alarm went off, I had to go in. I was tired. I was wore out. But I had to do it. I got up, drove in, did what I had to do, and drove home. Listening to Christian radio, I can still remember it like it was yesterday. And as I pulled into the garage, there was a song on. I have no idea what the song was, but it said this: God has a reason and a purpose for you in your life. Never heard the song again. Have no idea who sang it. But I just sat there and listened to it. You see, that was a personal encounter for me, because we were having a difficult time. Lord, why did you do this? What was the reason? And we were struggling. That was a personal encounter of Jesus with me that really has stuck with me for the rest of my life. You see, it was personal. But it was personal to Zacchaeus. And number two, it was powerful. How was it powerful? Well, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Jesus went home with Zacchaeus. Sometimes during the course of that conversation, Zacchaeus was convicted of his sins, and his life was changed. He repented. We see that because of that verse that we just read. That greedy little money-minded man was changed by seeing Jesus. He was changed by seeing Jesus. That's why we can say seeing Jesus is so powerful. Getting that deeper walk with him. Seeing him changes everything. Seeing him will enable you to weather those storms that you might go through. Seeing him will allow you to stand against those attacks from the enemy. Seeing him will give you that power that you need. Seeing him will encourage you and your courage and your strength. Seeing him will give you boldness. Seeing him will give you confidence. Seeing him will impact every area of your life. Seeing him will change your life like nothing else can. The thrill of seeing Jesus. Think of those who saw Jesus in the New Testament. The woman at the well. The woman with the issue of blood. The blind man at the temple, the Samaritan leper, the lame man at the pool of Bethsaida, the saw of Tarsus, Peter, Think about how they saw Jesus. The thrill of seeing Jesus. But you see, verses 9 and 10 say it was also profound. Seeing Jesus saved Zacchaeus. That meeting was no accident. Oh, it was no accident. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was going to be in that tree. How long? Before he breathed life into Adam. He knew that Zacchaeus was going to be in that tree, that he was going to be there. It was a planned meeting. And it was profound. Because after that, that little man was never the same. Never the same. I ask you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. For those that don't know, Pastor Ken and Wendy and Johnny and Gisela and my wife and I just got back this afternoon from the Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference up in Merritt Island. And it was really just a wonderful time of refreshing. It was a wonderful time of just being able to worship and listen to the Word. I look forward to it. It's a once-a-year thing, and it's such a special time. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13, was our key verse for the whole conference. And if you look at Acts chapter 4, if you have to look back at Acts chapter 3 to really understand what's going on, because there was a lame man who was healed in chapter 3. You can see it right there in the second verse. There was a man who begged daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, to which his sins to ask alms from those who entered. And Peter and John came up and said, we don't have silver or gold to give you, but we have Jesus. And the lame man was healed. And if you look at chapter 4, it goes on that Peter and John were arrested. They were arrested because they were out there teaching the word. And Peter comes up before the Sanhedrin, the government there. And he tells the government officials, we're teaching the Word of God. And they say, no, you got to stop. You can't do that anymore. And Peter said, no, we're going to continue to teach. We're going to continue to spread the gospel. And if you look at verse number 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were, I want you to underline this if you have your own Bible, uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. You see, they are uneducated and untrained. They were ordinary people. Just like us. They're ordinary people. They weren't anybody special. But they went out and shared the word. They went out and did what they were supposed to do. And that was really one of the key points that I got out of the conference for the last 3 days. It happened to be one of the first points that I heard on Monday. And I said, wow. Never looked at it that way. They were untrained and uneducated men. But it didn't matter, because why? They had been with Jesus. You see, and that's what it's really all about tonight. That's really what it's all about tonight. Where are you at with your walk with Jesus? Where are you at with your walk with Jesus? Are you walking with him tonight? Are you experiencing that thrill of seeing Jesus? I hope you are. Because it's an exciting walk. It's a walk that will just change your life.